You know, sometimes they ask you what three airplanes would you have if you had, one that's fast, one that's big, one that's low and slow, I think. We're just going to talk about the fast ones this quarter hour. Lynn Kaywood has always been interested in flying, but after she got a float plane ride in 2000, that kind of moved her in the direction of getting her own pilot's license, and she now is the safety officer for an organization called Air Race Classic. Hi, Lynn, and welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So tell me what the Air Race Classic is.
Well, the Air Race Classic, it's a 501c3, and we are the successor to the Powderpuff Derby and the National Air Races that started back in 1929 when they allowed the women to start racing.
So how is that working in the present time?
So it's a little bit different. The first races were flat-out speed with two categories. We are now a handicapped race.
Okay.
And so we can allow different makes and models to compete on an even playing field, kind of like a golf handicap.
Now, the Air Race Classic for 2022 took place just last month, June.
Yes.
And so tell me a little bit about it. What happened? How did it end up?
It was great.
How many were in it?
Yeah, so we had, we started out with about 55 teams that registered. We had...
How many on a team?
There's usually two, sometimes three. A lot of the college teams have three people on their team. So we had over 120 racers to start.
Mm.
We launched 47. And since the first time since 2009, every plane finished.
Wow.
Yeah, so we were very excited.
What a nice surprise.
Yeah. So we started in Lakeland, Florida. And we made our way up to... Moultrie, Georgia, then Muscle Shoals, Alabama, over to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, then I'm trying to think of the route, then Ada, Oklahoma, Lawrence, Kansas. We made our way then over to Mount Vernon, Illinois, Tullahoma, Tennessee, and then up to our terminus was in Terre Haute, Indiana.
How many days of flying is that?
You get 4 days to finish the course.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So we launch on a Tuesday and you have until 5 p.m. Friday. So it's all strategy. What's your best wins? Because you have to beat your handicap. So it's not the first plane to land.
Okay. Yeah. And it's not all east to west.
It's not always east to west. It's not always west to east. We change the route every year. Next year, the race course starts at UND in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And it does end back down in Florida in Homestead.
Wow. So that takes you over the Continental Divide then.
Yeah. It's going to be a great flight next year.
Wow. Okay. So you said you had how many aircraft flew in complete? Was it 47?
I think we have 47 complete this year.
Give me a sense of the range of types that are in this race. Because, I misspoke earlier. It's not just what are considered fast airplanes.
Right.
Not really.
It's stock or modified stock. Mm-hmm. So 100 horsepower minimum. You can have two engines, maximum 300 horsepower apiece. So we have everything from Bonanzas. We have had Barons, not this year, but Bonanzas. A lot of 172s, 182s, Diamonds, Cirrus, you name it. If it's kind of a general aviation aircraft, it's usually in there. No experimentals, unfortunately. But
okay.
We do
have
a Derby that starts, that's in September. We had the Air Race Classic has now started a Air Derby, and that allows experimentals.
That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this handicapping process.
Right.
I can imagine people getting a certain amount of consternation over how these handicaps are set. Talk through that.
Well, we take all the planes up to 6,000 feet density altitude. And like to fly a box, kind of cardinal headings. If you have an autopilot, we engage the autopilot.
And you're talking about the specific aircraft entered
the
in the race.
Specific aircraft
this year.
Craft entered in the race. We have, instead of the, we replace the co-pilot with an observer, with a handicapped pilot that's a volunteer with the Air Race. So they observe what's going on to make sure that the plane's flying full throttle and maximum power. And we use I think it's Gray's algorithm, and come up with the average ground speed, and that is the speed you need to beat in order to win.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the participants themselves, some of the pilots. You said that crew teams are generally 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. Is it a safe bet that most of these folks are commercial aviators?
Well, we have everything from student pilots. You only have to be a crew member. You have to have just 5 hours in a logbook, fixed wing, up to we have ATP pilots that fly for major airlines. So the college teams usually have an instructor and a pilot working on her ratings and then maybe a student pilot. And so it ranges from there. This year we had our oldest racer was 92, maybe 93.
Come on.
And our youngest was 17.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Different question. Uh-huh. What's the qualification? What's the threshold to get in?
So you have to have at least a private pilot certificate. And you have to have the pilot or co-pilot has to have at least 500 hours of PIC time or an instrument rating.
But only at the private level then? Needs to be no greater than the private level.
No greater than private level.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you can basically just raise your hand and put up a team and get in. It's not like you have to qualify in some way.
Correct. You just have to meet our basic requirements. We've had teams meet on the internet and or through our web pages and things like that and form a team. And again, we have several universities that compete and or lifelong friends and
sure.
board members and things like that.
This is Lynn Kaywood that we're talking to. She is the safety officer for the Air Race Classic. So we'll say this more than once just so that people get it. Your website is airraceclassic.org.
Correct.
And when is the window open for the 2023 version? And if people want to be involved in what you're doing, do they need to wait until then?
So you could volunteer anytime on our website. And we, especially if you have an airport that you want to be involved as a route stop, we usually have 8 or 9 route stops or a start or a terminus. You can contact us. I also work with the start and terminus. And our website's up all year round. And we'd love to have people volunteer to help us out.
And there's that derby that you mentioned. So.
And then the derby runs from September 23rd. To October 1st, I believe, or October 2nd. We give a 2-week window to fly the route. It's a kind of a create your own adventure. So it allows more people to participate and kind of experience the sport of a little bit of, it's more of a prediction run versus a race. But it allows more women to have that exposure and cut their teeth on kind of how we run our rules and our organization so they can compete with us, hopefully, for a 4-day race.
Are there rules that you operate differently where you've looked at the way other races do it or maybe the way guys do it and you've decided we're not going to do that, we're going to do something different?
Well, not really. We're actually the longest standing race. It's all women.
Oh, so they're the one copying.
And they're the ones copying us. It can be quite flattering.
That's pretty funny. Tell me a story. We have a few minutes left. Tell me a story. Tell me about, say, one of your teams that stands out because they're unique and had a particularly interesting experience with the air race this year.
This year, let's see, we had... actually, the president of our organization, Laura Gardy, made it to Mount Vernon, Illinois, and she had a vacuum pump go out. And mm-hmm. she thought, oh, my gosh, this is the end of the race for me. I'm never going to get flown in. And the day before, or earlier that day or the day before, a local airplane declared an emergency, came in and landed and was in the shop. Its problem was not the vacuum pump, and they happened to have this exact model she needed. So the owner kind of helped her out. She got her vacuum pump installed, and she came in, I'd want to say, 5th or 6th place, ended up placing in the top 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
So who made the connection there? Was it one of the A&Ps?
The mechanic, yeah, on the field.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's wonderful. And as you know, the aviation community is always a fantastic community to be with. But during the race, it's really great to see how supportive our stops are for us.
That's so cool. Lynn Kaywood with Air Race Classic. Your website is airraceclassic, all one word, .org. And your business card, by the way, says safety officer. So yes. What sorts of things do you do during the race in that capacity?
I make sure that on the ground and in the air that all aspects of safety we work with. We give our briefings. We let our racers know how to work with us if an incident or an accident does occur. Our focus is also health safety now because of other things going on in this world. So we make those plans, work with the FAA. They came out and did ramp checks for us at the start. And so we communicated with our friends at the FAA. And so I manage all that in the ground operations to make sure that we get everybody parked properly and launched safely.
That sounds like a lot to do. How do you guys get from point to point along the route? Do you sort of fly along with or behind or in front of, or how does that work?
Well, I actually competed this year, so I had to give my duties over to someone who wasn't. But yes, we have support planes, and in 2019, I did not race, so I plan which stops I want to go to, monitor things on the ground. We also have a race central person that monitors what's going on, and that's kind of our safety net where people can text and call our Race Central person and let them know what's going on. And so we have a great network there.
Lynn Kaywood, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're listening to EAA Radio.